Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mehler here. Great to have you along today as we talk about attracting pollinators through the use of small pocket prairie gardens. It's part of a great program going on in Dubuque County, Iowa. And you know what? There's no reason why we couldn't do it right here in good old Wisconsin, I think, even in one of your parks or maybe in your backyard even or your front yard. Three guests involved with the program are with us. One, Dubuque County Master Gardener Coordinator, Ray Cruzy. Ray, welcome to the show.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Another guest, volunteer coach, Erica Haugen. Erica, welcome.
Thanks, Larry. Glad to be here.
And, well, great to have you here. And finally, a participant mentor. That's Doug's title, Doug Cheever. Doug, thank you for joining in.
And thanks again for having us.
As we talk with our three guests, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a kind of a pocket park in your community, or maybe you have some questions about creating one, or maybe some native plant questions. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Ray, let's start with you. Thanks again, by the way, for reaching out to us about the Mowing for Monarchs program. How did this program get started?
Yeah, well, it didn't really actually start with me. It started with our County Board of Supervisors and our County Conservation Board working together, and they're like, hey, there is this program in Minnesota called Lawns to Legumes, and they're like, could we do something like that here in Dubuque County? And so they were talking with one of our educators here at the Conservation Board, and she's like, yeah, this would be great, but I just don't have the volunteer or, you know, power or the knowledge to do this. So she reached out to me and is like, hey, would the Master Gardeners, you know, would this qualify as a Master Gardener project, and could we move forward with some of the resources you may have? And so this was really, you know, a partnership between our two organizations here in our county, and it's been very successful.
Yeah, I looked at the map of the number of gardens that have been started. It's amazing. What kind of help do you provide?
Yeah, so our Master Gardener, I'm just going to start off from the top. I can't take any credit for what they do. But what they've done is, and Doug is on the call here, is they've really provided a lot of that research behind the selection of the pocket prairie. So each person that signs up to receive a pocket prairie, there's a whole process in applying and things like that. But once they qualify to get that pocket prairie kit, our Master Gardeners have done a ton of research to try and create something that would go in the most yards. So as we know, like, landscapes are diverse and things like that. We've really worked hard to create something that would go in the most yards, and it's kind of like a plug-and-play system, if you want to say.
Yeah. Erica, let me turn to you. If people are maybe wondering, what the heck's a pocket park? And you also have pocket prairies. Let's talk about both. What's a pocket park?
Well, you know, I would say like a pocket park would be more of like a public space, right, where people can come and see these, I guess, native prairie plants or native plants close to the area and interact with them. And it creates ways to connect habitats for pollinators and wildlife across the county.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I imagine a pocket park is different from a pocket prairie would be a different kind of system. What's the pocket prairie like?
Right. And so when we started with Mowing to Monarchs, we started with, we wanted to have this a manageable and attainable way to add native plants to people's yards, essentially. So we started with a plot that was about 100 square feet, and now I think most of our plantings are about 150 square feet. And so it is literally just like the small garden that you could put like you said, in your front yard, and we have different heights of plants that can go into them depending on what your needs are for sun or for shade or if it's going to be close to the street or a sidewalk. And it just creates, if we get enough of them throughout the county, we're seeing that we're creating habitat that endangered insects are using, the butterflies are using, and birds are using.
Yeah, and so 150 square feet, that, you know, like 10 by 15, so that's not a that's not a huge area. And I saw one photo, and I thought to myself, I didn't realize it, but I have my own pocket park because I set up between the sidewalk and the street in front of my house. I have prairie plants, and so here I created my own pocket park, and I didn't even know I was doing it.
Yeah, those street side plantings have become really popular, and I think they're gorgeous, and it's a great way to help more people learn about native plant selection in their area.
Well, you know, that's one spot, but talk about how other spots are maybe located, Erica, so far.
Right. So we have grown the program and expanded the plant selection, and Doug can talk more about this because he's the expert, but we have folks who maybe they don't have full sun, and our initial plants were set up for full sun, as a lot of prairie plants do, but we can grow native plants in lots of different circumstances. And so we have a garden that does well in part sun. And what we look for in site selection with this particular program is we want to take traditional turf grass and lawn and convert that into these native plantings. So that is our main focus, is taking up less of that green space we have with turf and then creating these more livable habitats. So we can do shade, sun, and then we're working on some test plots for this year that will be for under some of our keystone trees.
Very, very cool. And you're a volunteer coach. What does that mean?
Great. So what that essentially means, I applied for the program in its first year, and Doug was my coach, and I had never planted a native plant at all before that. And so I had very little experience working with these, but I had some general experience gardening. And I just fell in love with it. And for me, it was, I wanted to show people how they could create these little spaces in their yard. And it was for showing my neighbors and showing my friends and showing my family. And so people were coming on board and asking me questions. And then I became so familiar with the plants that we were using and how to prepare the sites for them that it was a natural fit to just help other people new to the program who maybe haven't gardened at all, just to give them the confidence that, yes, you can do this and we will show you how. Mm-hmm. And so technically all I really do is I'm like a cheerleader on the sidelines, helping to take the expertise that the master gardeners give us into application.
Oh, man. And Doug, you're a participant mentor and a smart guy, I guess, when it comes to plants.
Let's say I do a lot of, it's called research for a reason. usually I have to go back at it again.
Okay. So what,
we're ahead. We're trying to see what works, because when we started out, we've been doing this now for four growing seasons, and we've had about 400 participants. The biggest issue we had really was we wanted something that was attractive not only to pollinators, but it was also attractive to our neighbors. And this is, you know, in town, you know, we're not developing meadows, as you've learned. They're small areas. The finding a model to go from was, I know of more prairie plantings that have failed in 5 years than have succeeded. So what we have done then is we offer the same package to everyone. We offer enough help that over half of our participants are new gardeners. and we do survey them, and we get comments like, hey, I'm amazed with the results that every single plant thrived, it bloomed, it looked fabulous in the first years. And those immediate results really helped shape positive reactions from my neighbors. And then go on to say, hey, my neighbors and I are counting bees weekly. I'm sharing what I learned with family and friends. I'm teaching neighbor kids about pollinators. You know, and just getting the educational literature was really important for newbies like me.
Wow.
So it's really, we're not recreating the tall grass prairie. That would be too tall and floppy. And frankly, that's not what's going to work in most yards. One of our more successful planting areas has been along the curve. That's high visibility, and for most homeowners, it's a headache. And so we're trying to find, you know, how to share the importance of pollinator habitat with a wider audience. And it's really built a base of 400 people who are still enthusiastic and wanting to do more.
Yeah, I put that space in between the sidewalk and the street. I put that in probably 12 years ago now when we moved into that house. And we thought, for one thing, it was a pain in the butt to mow, to be honest. And I thought, well, why don't we put some prairie plants in there? And my wife at the time said, maybe it was her idea. Let's give her the credit. Doesn't matter, but we put them in and have, you know, it takes a little getting used to getting them set up at a year or two. But once it's going, there's not a whole lot of effort and work involved, Doug.
Yes, other than spraying. We have a lot of trees, and so that means a lot of leaves that got dug out recently. And there's always the question about how much of that do you leave, as Neil DeBolle was covering with you.
Yeah.
Previous program.
David Appleton has a question for you. Let's go there. Dave, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I've got an area of sod with weeds in, grass with weeds in. It's about 30 by 90. I was thinking about turning that over as deeply as I can, leveling it off, and putting prairie plants in there. Once I do that, do I cover it with a little straw or something to make them grow? And do you make packets that I can just spread out that might have 5 to 10 different prairie plants in it? And I don't want them to grow very tall. I wouldn't want them to get much more than 5 inches tall. So how would I approach that?
Well, Doug, you want to take a crack at that?
I'm still working on that. yes, but we wanted something that will take over. The first concern is site prep. That's one of the things we've had to emphasize to people, is you don't really want to till things up, especially if you've got quack grass, because you're then just spreading all the roots around. Secondly, for most of these prairie plants, you need full sun. And most of our homeowners tend to overestimate how much they have. We finally had to define it as you need to have at least 5 hours of midday sun, you know, between 9 and 3, in order for these plants to thrive. So not knowing what you have, I have to admit, before I discovered prairie plants, I spent a lot of time with other ground covers, which is what you're looking for, and that are low and neat. And Pachysandra does well as long as it's not too sunny.
All right, Dave, thank you.
That might answer the question, but I don't know how much we want to dig deeper.
I think your comment on site preparation is really important for Dave to consider, because you want to get rid. You can't just dig up quack grass, because it's just going to go all over the place. There are cover methods. There's ways to to probably get rid of that. And there are some, you have some guides on the on your website, mowing mowing to monarchs. And I expect, I mean, those are for the people who are involved in the program, but I don't imagine you mind whether if somebody else comes on and takes that information and uses it.
One of the reasons we're talking to you is we'd love to share and learn what works for other people.
Yeah.
And frankly, for site prep, if we could do it, we'd prefer that people kill it, whichever word they're going to use, and that could be herbicide, solar, or smothering. But you probably need to allow a year to be sure you're not going to get invaded.
Yeah, I think that's
what you thought you killed.
I think that's very good advice. Dave, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We're talking about the program titled Mowing to Monarchs with our three guests, Dubuque County Master Gardener Coordinator Ray Cruzy, volunteer coach Erica Haugen, and participant mentor Doug Cheever. Questions? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Taking a look at prairie grasses and prairie flowers today and the Mowing to Monarchs program that's going on in Dubuque County, Iowa, with our three guests today, the Dubuque County Master Gardener Coordinator, Ray Cruzy, volunteer coach Erica Haugen, and participant mentor, Doug Cheever. Again, you can join us if you have a question or comment, or maybe you've been doing something kind of like this as well, like I have. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. And just a quick mention, the second hour of Garden Talk today, Laura Jell will be back, and she'll be talking with us about spring pruning and planting. So we'll look forward to that as well in the second hour of the show. Ray, let me turn to you. It sounds like, you know, Doug was mentioning the number of pocket gardens that have started up, pocket park in parks and elsewhere. In your mind, what's been the impact on Dubuque County?
Yeah, great question. I would say the number one impact on Dubuque County so far has been the value that people have started to see in having native plants on the landscape. So people are becoming educated about what it's like to have native plants, what they look like, and also what those plants are starting to, what they're homes for, if you want to say. They're homes for some insects, they're food for pollinators, or things like that. And folks are liking to see that in their neighborhood. So that's what I would say would be the main benefit that we're seeing.
Yeah, and it's a big one. Wayne in Appleton has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. I'm a big fan of monarch butterflies, all butterflies, but monarchs especially. And I've been seeing a really drastic decrease in population, and I'm wondering what's the cause of that. Is that because of predators? Is it because of pesticides? But also, I like to tag monarch butterflies, and I'm just curious if your guest has ever done that or continues to do that or is involved in tagging monarch butterflies.
All right.
Yeah. So I think there's a few questions there. The first is about the decline in mowing to monarchs. So I don't know if there's research pointing to one specific reason as to the decline. I know one big contributing factor that is pointing to the decline is loss of habitat. But you know, the use of pesticides is something else that is being pointed at as well. But again, I don't know of any specific thing that's coming to the forefront. I know there's a lot of different things that are causing that research is suggesting is the problem, just like honeybees. So that's to answer your first question there. To answer your second question there about tagging, I don't know of anyone in the program that's doing that unless Erica or Doug know of anybody, but I don't know of anybody doing any tagging. I know there's a lot of folks that are recording the insects that they're seeing, and specifically related to the Rusty Patch Bumblebee. But I don't know if Doug or Erica have any input on that.
Doug, or Erica, go ahead.
You know, I don't participate in tagging monarchs, though we do encourage participants to use iNaturalist to observe the insects that we find and the other wildlife that we find in the garden. So we have about 24, I think we have 24 growers right now who have made over 580 observations for 196 species, including the monarch butterfly. And I think I would kind of echo what Ray said, too, is what our goal with the program is to kind of address what we can in small ways. And so what we can do is create these little pockets of habitat throughout the county and our neighborhoods. And we see the insects returning to those pockets very quickly within one season.
That is very cool. And tagging is very cool, too. 2 years ago, I got to tag a monarch at a program that we were doing. And it was kind of a really neat experience for me. Wayne, thank you very much. It was last year, actually. Jill is reminding me. It wasn't 2 years ago. And it was a lot of fun. And we shot a little video, and that video is probably still up on our Larry Mueller Show site, if I'm not mistaken. Wayne, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Dan in Abrams, what's on your mind?
Well, I have about 2 acres. About 6 or 7 years ago, I used an herbicide on most of the lawn and replanted it in wildflowers. It looks spectacular the first year, but gradually the grass seemed to come back and take it over. And then it was just tall and kind of weedy. And I'm wondering what you would recommend. I will probably follow up with an email or a text to mowing the monarchs.
Yeah, that's, Doug, that probably goes back to site preparation.
Partly site preparation, but partly that's what prairies do. If you talk to people that are doing home landscaping, they fairly quickly start using words like editing or curating their plantings, meaning they are in there doing selective, taking things out and putting things in. With 2 acres, that's not super feasible for you. And frankly, it's a little bit out of our scope, but it is, you know, it is possible to, one possibility is if you could take some species that do spread well, and in fact, probably aggressively, such as goldenrod and, purple coneflowers, as well as rattlesnake master, will generally tend to be seed and go around. So you could create drifts within your grassland. Hopefully it is all native grass.
Dan, there you go. And I would, you could also go on the site of Mowing to Monarchs for their information. Prairie Nursery here in Wisconsin is one nursery, Prairie Nursery, and there are other ones as well within the state. If you go online to those sites as well, they may have some advice for you as well on that. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I highly recommend Neil DeBole's recent book on Gardener's Guide to Prairies. If you want to know what plants are spectacular, when they grow, what can be transplanted, it's there. And that's extremely useful.
Yeah, It is kind of the book, isn't it?
It is, and it certainly could help you assess where you are. But you know, that is an issue. The prairie does change, and there are over 400 some plants that can't exist in a native prairie, and that's still changing too.
Yeah. It certainly is. Dan, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Do native plants offer a lot that some of our non-natives don't, Doug? And Ray commented on it a bit, but maybe you could add to that. What do native plants offer that non-natives don't?
They support a lot of the little things that have been there, maintaining... you know, creating our healthy environment and climate. We've lived in the same area for 50 years. It really wasn't until we started looking, planting native plants and realizing and looking for what came. And we've used, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of drama. There's life and death and assassins all lurking there, fighting it out. And that goes for plants, too. So it's, for me, you know, it's the Pocket Prairie has given us a nature center right in our front yard. And I'm out there with my camera a lot.
Don, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm interested in the ins and outs of this. There may be somebody listening, and I bet you there are, people who may have a little park in their area where there might be a corner where they could start a program. Or maybe they want to, let's just copy the Moda Monarchs program. What kinds of, I don't know, I don't want to say hoops to jump through, but how do people get involved in Moda Monarchs, Erica?
Well, I think probably the easiest way to start is to head over to the website, and our local extension website is really well maintained, and it has our plant list and our layout. But you're absolutely right that it's these public spaces that are wanting to add these plants. And one of the things I found really exciting is when you start to grow the native plants, you start to recognize them. And our group of growers, our community of growers, is helping to support, like, businesses, for example, that are putting in plants, we notice. And so then we share that within our network. And I think it was like a Target in our area put in native plants in the parking lot. The River Museum did in a bunch of the medians in their parking lot. They planted them all with our Mowing to Monarch plant kit. And then a local brewery did it as well. And so one of the things that we're seeing is businesses are seeing this as a great way to help, you know, support us, but also as a great alternative for their landscaping outside of their business too.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you qualify for the program, how do you qualify for the program, by the way?
So we have an application period, and you have to own the land that you're planting on and commit to maintaining the garden for 3 years. And so we have a limited amount of funding that we can use, but we try to take everyone who's interested in it. We keep them on a list, and then we will kind of work through granting out those programs as we can. Or once we've exhausted the available funding, we have an opportunity for people to buy into the program. So you could, I'm not sure how much it is this year, but it's a really reasonable price to get all of the plants. And then we will still provide you coaching and support to prepare your site and to put those plants in and to maintain them over the 3 years, whether you participate in the grant or the buy-in in Dubuque County.
Yeah,
the key point is you do need to be a resident of Dubuque County. And while we're close to Wisconsin, we've got a lot of your listeners.
Yeah.
But we, you know, if you look at the list, the pocket prairie that for full sun has about 18 different species, 80 total plants, and we've sorted through them so that people who are concerned about whether they are poisonous, we unfortunately had to pull out passflower because of concerns that it had more toxicity than many plants. And so that list is there. And then if you have more shade and want something short, that's also listed. So do take a look at it. One of the differences between Iowa and Wisconsin is our conservation boards are county directed, so that we don't have as active a DNR as Wisconsin does. And as a consequence, our Dubuque County Conservation Board is managing over 2,000 acres, 50 miles of trails in a county of about 100,000 people.
Yeah, that's...
this is a model that could be repeated. Probably the key thing is that volunteer enthusiasm isn't enough. You really need a group pulled together, and that's where Erica has been outstanding. We have a closed Facebook page that participants are on. And so, you know, people are being supported. They don't just get a kit. They get a newsletter. They get instructions. They get a coach that can be there. And that can continue for 3 years. And as we said, we've been able to get a lot of newbies into this. Half of our people are gardening for the first time.
That is very, very cool. And we have a call from, Kirsten in Eau Claire. I mentioned the fact I tagged a monarch butterfly, and I did that, I believe, at the Beaver Creek Reserve. And Kirsten from the Beaver Creek Reserve, or from at least from Eau Claire, is online next. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to remind you that you did tag the butterfly at Beaver Creek Reserve. We were so happy to have you. And I just wanted to remind everybody that we do have a native plant sale coming up, and it goes online on April 30th on our website. So everybody can get their native plants.
That is, and when does it go online? Pretty quick.
It goes on our website on April 30th at 9 o'clock, and some of our plants do sell out within like 15 minutes, so you got to be there with your cup of coffee ready.
Well, Kirsten, that was one of the most enjoyable days of the year for me. I had a lot of fun there, and the Beaver Creek Reserve is a fantastic area. It's just a dream area, and it was a lot of fun to be there. I often wondered if that how far that butterfly made it. Thanks so much for calling, Kirsten. Appreciate it very much. Oh, man. So there's a plant sale, and there's a bunch of them going on, I bet, around the state. That's in the Eau Claire area, and there's probably more. I know there are more around the state. Beth in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call today. I was particularly interested in the caller named Wayne, who spoke with you a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And his interest in monarchs. I'm a Linn County, Iowa master gardener, and we have a fantastic organization in the Cedar Rapids, Marion, Iowa area, which is just 3 hours from La Crosse, so it's a little bit of a drive. But it's a national organization, and on May 18th, they are having a one-day kind of intensive monarch program. A couple of the speakers are, one is on the state of the monarch, and the other speaker is talking about the power of native landscapes. And I thought, and they set up tents, and they have all kinds of information about raising monarchs, protecting monarchs. They sell milkweed. It's a great organization, and I just wanted to share that with your listeners. It's called the Monarch Research Station, and they can easily Google that for more information.
Beth, thank you very much. I appreciate the information. Have you guys been involved at all with, probably not. You've got plenty to worry about yourself with your own project, Ray.
Yeah, no, I can say that we have been involved with them. I know that they are doing work down there and things like that, but we haven't participated. And like you said, it's not that we don't want to, but we do have a lot of other things that we're working on.
You know, it sounds like, well, and you're a master gardener, so that's part of the program, and totally sort of integrated with Extension, the Extension Service, Federal Extension Service, which, you know, obviously the Master Gardener program usually typically runs through Extension. And
sure.
And it feels like this is a great Extension type program because it relies on a lot of cooperation and effort from a lot of folks, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And that's why when our county conservation educator, Caitlin Moeller, had approached me about this program, she's like, you know, I just don't have the know-how and I don't have the volunteer resources. She's like, would this work as a Master Gardener project? And I mean, I don't go out and instruct people like that you're going to go volunteer. So we operate our Master Gardener program here as you know, here's an opportunity you can take hold. And I relayed this to the Master Gardeners and people like Doug Cheever. We also have some folks that aren't on the call today, like Marilyn Norman, Jackie Kerr, and Amy Sherman, who are all Master Gardeners. I mean, all of those folks you know, joined in on this program after I had relayed this to the group. And you're right, this meets our mission of educating the community through gardening.
Yeah. And Beth, thank you again for your information. You can join in too. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you could email us, and the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Great to have you along today on Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here as we visit about the Mowing to Monarchs program and prairies with our guest today, Dubuque County Master Gardener Coordinator Ray Cruzy, volunteer coach Erica Haugen, and participant mentor Doug Cheever. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. Or email to talk@WPR.org. Quick note, next week on Garden Talk, Bruce Spangenberg is back to cover spring chores, and then we'll talk about growing pawpaws, which I've never done. So I'll learn right along with you as we talk there. But now the Mowing to Monarchs program and prairie questions again, 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Linda emailed that in years prior, she had lots of milkweed in her CRP fields. Last year, she didn't see a single plant and no monarchs. She's not the only one who noticed their milkweed plants did not return last year. Not sure where she's calling, where she emailed from. But she's wondering, what do you think happened? There were no sprays in the area or no spraying. There weren't any animals grazing except for, of course, deer, which there's always deer. Any ideas as to why the milkweed suddenly disappeared from that area?
I could take that if you'd like, Larry.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, so Doug had mentioned earlier that, you know, prairies kind of change every year. And I never knew that to be, you know, the thing until I had attended an Iowa Prairie Network summer conference. And we went to a few different prairies. And I'd seen, you know, in the life, you know, that, you know, one year we might see a ton of these flowers and the next year we might not. And so, going back to what your speaker is seeing there, I'm wondering if, you know, one year was favorable for those plants to exist. They ceased to exist, or maybe they may they maybe cease to exist, or they may be drastically less in terms of population 1 year, and they might return in another. So it is fluid, if you want to say. So I guess I wouldn't be discouraged. It maybe is concerning, but I don't think I would be discouraged.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that. I was thinking about my own plot where I had, actually the milkweed in my plot was getting to be aggressive and I had to do some pruning to get some of the milkweed actually out before it overtook the whole plot. But with, it's something a little easier to do, Doug, if you're working with a 10 by 15 or a 10 by 10 area. It's, I think, a little easier to do that kind of work, don't you think?
Yes, that is one advantage. And again, as I said, it's a nature center in your front yard. People have really, even a space 10 by 10, it's great to run a path through the middle of it and walk through that once a day and see what's there and see what's happening. We probably should explain that while the title is Mowing to Monarchs, we've kind of moved over towards pollinators. And while it's a catchy title, we're doing more to follow where the bumblebees are going. And what's been striking is these small pocket prairies have attracted literally dozens of rusty patch bumblebees, which are endangered, and there's a lot of programs trying to revive them, but they're still around and they are still attracted to even a small plot. So as one person said, it's great, I believe I can make a difference in my little corner of the world. And that is true. You don't have to do the whole dang yard. Pick a place that is a problem along the street. We've seen rusty patch bumblebees there. Or go into the backyard where you've got a section that's being taken over by Creeping Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. And that you're right about the rusty patch bumblebee. And it's really, I was going to say surprising, but I guess maybe a better word is encouraging to see suddenly the appearance of all these bees.
I just want to share a little story about that. We had one of our NASA gardeners also volunteers with her elementary school and worked with the Mowing to Monarchs plant list to apply for a grant from the city of Dubuque to purchase plants that are on our plant list. And we planted those plants at the elementary school in May. And my husband is a teacher there. And when I went to the school with him, it's August, I think, when they're getting ready to go back to school. And I was checking on the prairie and walked into their garden, which the volunteers did a beautiful job of laying out. But I immediately saw 3 rusty patch bumblebees on this garden that was planted in May. And I was just so excited. And then a little bit later that year, one of the students was really excited to show me a chrysalis that she had found from a monarch and was just explaining to me the whole life cycle of the caterpillars. So it's really exciting to see how, you can replicate this even without going directly through our grant program and make it your own, and how excited people get and how engaged they get and how quickly it builds this habitat.
I would certainly agree, Eric, and thanks for those comments. And I went to your site, I was more than once, actually, and I was looking at the growing guides, custom-made program growing guides, I think it was called, that you've put together through some, probably trial and error a little bit, but you've got a whole list of good information. I clicked on the information myself and I thought, man, this is what a person needs. And I don't know if you've got those in front of you, Doug or Erica or Ray, but you've got site considerations before your pocket prairie arrives. You've got creating a planting plan before your prairie arrives. You've got, well, let's see. Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
You'd like me to share the short link, Larry?
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, so we have a short link for the page for folks to hopefully more easily access it. It's HTTPS with the two colons, and then we have the /, and then it's a bit.ly link, so it's bit.ly, and we have another /, and then it's mo, and then the number 2, and then M-O-N. So, we shorten it up so that hopefully it's a little more accessible and relatable over the radio.
Yeah, and I actually think and we'll put that up on our page for today, the Garden Talk page for today, so people can, if they didn't get that written down, which I'm sure they didn't, we'll have it there. Jill will put it up, and we'll have it there for people. And probably, I'm trying to remember, if you just go to, if you type in Mowing to Monarchs, Dubuque, which is what I did the first time, you go to the site, you find the site, and if you scroll down the site a little bit, you come to those growing guides. And they really are helpful. And, you know, you're planting with a stone pathway, planting on the south side of a building, planting a simple grid pattern, planting with randomized stones, planting on both sides of a sidewalk, transplanting prairie plugs, fall season pocket prairie care, second growing season care, and third year prairie care and considerations, and some others as well. So a lot of really good information, whether you're a part of the program or you're not part of the program, you can take advantage of this and learn a whole lot more about what's going on. So, Erica, how many hours a week do you spend on this?
So I love this. I don't actually have to spend a lot of time on it, but I do love to answer questions. And so I'm happy to help do that if people send me a Facebook message or I'm also on Instagram if they want to message me there. They can do that. And usually I can refer them back to the website because there is so much information here. And I think the most important thing that we have done with this program is make it accessible. When I first started, I wanted to do this program. I prepped the site, and I stalled because I didn't know how to pick plants. I didn't know what would work. I wanted to do it in my front yard. I was afraid I was going to invest and kill them all because I didn't know what I was doing. And really, the plant list is wonderful. They are all of them are pretty easy to grow in various site conditions and in various soils. They do need the sun, but we have that part shade mix as well. They took the guesswork out of it, and then they gave us these plans to go with these plant kits so that it looks like a professional garden when you're done. It's really something when you see them from start to finish in a space that was well planned. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is indeed. And as we wind up here, I want to thank all three of you for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it. Our Dubuque County Master Gardener Coordinator, Ray Cruzy, our volunteer coach, Erica Haugen, and the participant mentor, Doug Cheever. Obviously, they're quite enthusiastic about the program. And I hope you'll take a look. Go online to the Mowing to Monarch site. Take a look at it and take a look at the guides. I think, and the photos. There's some great photos of gardens that have already been done. Appreciate their effort very, very much. Coming up, we're going to talk about spring pruning and planting, among other things, with our next guest, Laura Jell. I'm Larry Mealer.